Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Rolando Sanchez, Ryan Norda, and Fatso Catso. Coming up on TMS, the best hamburgers in the business.
Same dog, new homeowners.
Killing them with Kimness.
Schrodinger's neighbors.
Have fun with the baby.
We're off to Disneyland.
They forgot us on purpose.
Crying blood.
Show me on the map where New Hampshire touched you.
The fettuccine incident.
Audible Tina. Gasp.
Bruised by biscuits.
New Pokemon, Chick-fil-A.
Every girl's crazy about my sharp ass blades.
Biscuit bruises with Randy.
Totally worth it. Science bomb. Bobby, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hi, I'm Wendy's founder, Dave Thomas. From the day I opened the first Wendy's, my goal has been to serve the best hamburger in the business, a Wendy's old-fashioned hamburger. So I started with the freshest beef I could find, 100% pure beef, never frozen. And we patted it in squares so the hamburger hangs over the side of the bun.
The liver and gizzard are prime suspects.
The Morning Stream. Don't eat that. It's Pluto.
Hello and welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, November 13th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
Good
it's
morning.
Time for the freshest TMS in the business.
In the binness, he says.
Business.
You know, back when we played that thing in like 2011, I didn't remember hearing the binness part. But
no, I know. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there. Yeah, you got freshest and, you know, old fashioned was the thing that we focused on and forgot about all the other gems all around it. Also, using the term patty as a verb, we patted it into squares.
Oh. Like, I don't know if that's a verb either.
Yeah. I don't think that's a verb. I don't think you can say we pattied it.
Jeez, Mr. Hot and Juicy there in your grave. What were you thinking?
That's right.
Wasn't he so Ohio native? Do I have that right? Because I think there's an Ohio thing going on with the accent, like the bidness and the phrase.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Somebody out there knows that. You live out there, confirm or deny Dave Thomas's existence in your great state of Iowa. All
right. Right.
Exactly. Let's say Iowa.
Born in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Oh, that's totally wrong.
Died in Fort Lauderdale, so he just slowly made his way down the coast.
Yep.
But I wonder if he spent lived most of his life in Ohio or something. Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Michigan. Maybe it's a Michigan.
It's where he spent most of his youth. And then at 12, they moved to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, my Lord.
And then 15, back moved with his dad up at the Hobby Horse Restaurant, a Hobby House Restaurant in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay. He's all over the place.
He's
just got a Midwest thing going, I guess. I don't know.
I think that's just the accent that comes from all of those places.
Mm.
I no doubt the Atlantic City, New Jersey is where he got business.
Yeah. That sounds like...
Hey, you know, we... you can come to casino, we'll take care of business.
Business. Business.
Business.
It's very weird.
Business.
Well, anyway, we're glad to be here. We hope you're all well.
Yeah.
Quick reminder that at about an hour after the show ends tomorrow will be the first episode of Word on the Street with myself and Greg Street.
Nice.
Frogpants.tv, which will take you to either Twitch or YouTube, wherever you prefer.
Oh, you're going to be doing it live. Cool.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Cool.
Don't totally live streaming it. We'll have VODs and everything and the podcast, of course. And that reminded me to remind people that if you are interested in asking Greg questions about his new things, I think tomorrow's going to be just me and Greg. Mm-hmm. There'll be other team members on different episodes. But we're going to talk about the founding of the company, kind of its founding principles, what he wants to do, some of their early ideas. We're going to take some questions we already have or use some questions we already have. But if you want to send yours in, you can use our self same Frog Pants hotline number, 801-471-0462. Leave a text or a voicemail and we'll ask it on the air. Keep them short, though.
I have one question for Greg Street, and I'll have to get it. I'll send it in the appropriate ways, but it's what is this new MMO, and what's it going to be called, and how much is it going to cost, and when can I have it?
Oh, perfect. Those are the questions we're looking for, exactly. Yeah. Those
kinds. Sure. Yeah. I'm sure he's ready to answer all of those things.
Yeah, he wants to nerf paladins or something. And by the way, we will favor shorter, succinct questions over long, drawn out ones. So just know that, everybody, if you're sending something in, just, you know, keep it in the realm of short. Okay. It's just a better chance of getting played or heard. So there you go.
Cool. What's your favorite fresh hamburger topping?
he'd probably have an answer on that.
Probably would. Yeah.
Right now it's probably eggs, 'cause he's raising chickens in Texas.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
Yeah, cool. He moved down there from Orange County. Bought a little, you know, little place with a little bit of chicken zone there.
Go to chicken zone.
The chicken zone. Fantastic. And now goes out there, gets eggs in the morning, you know, checks on them. I think it's great.
Perfect.
Anyway, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow at noon Mountain Time here at frogpants.tv, and of course the podcast afterwards, which you can find all that stuff at frogpants.com/street or at fantasticpixelcastle.com, which is their company name. All right, more now than ever. I've come to a conclusion. Need to share this. Tesla, the Tesla neighbor, right? Yeah. That has like five Teslas. They had a baby.
Oh, cool.
This is their third. And just to give you some perspective on time here, when we had our big neighbor battle with them, because Nick put a bag of poo on their driveway from their dog that kept pooping in our yard.
Right.
That was early 2016, and they only had one kid, and it was a baby then. Mm-hmm. So this should give you enough, you know, we've had some time pass, lives have changed, three kids now, started with one.
We've seen each other and talked to each other and stuff. And
sure, things have happened. It all really started to kick off when Kim and Nick went and saved them from their car getting stuck in the snow. And that's when they went, these guys are nice. But now I have a theory that I cannot shake. And I'm not a positive, but I also don't know how to confirm this. So yesterday, Kim goes, let's go over there and bring them a little baby gift and then see if they want dinner. I said, okay, that sounds great. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. So Kim and I walk over there. Nice and chilly and cold. Mm-hmm. Bing bong. She comes to the door. And she says, oh, that's so nice. Thank you. And we gave him the leftover Pokemon cards for her son, you know, all that. And turns out the two other kids and the husband, Tesla himself, are all in Disneyland. So she could have time with the new baby to chill and not have two other kids running all over the place. Exactly.
That's kind of okay. It makes... I mean,
it seems like everybody
makes sense
wins
to get the other kids out of the house, but you'd think that, I don't know, the father should be there.
I would think so. Like, personally, I think you kind of want to be there for the early bonding stuff, but what do I know? I don't know.
I just had the baby. You guys go have some fun in Disneyland. I'm gonna take care of the baby.
Yeah. So they did that. They took off. She's there just with the kid, and we were finding this out as we're at the door. And she's like, oh, that's so sweet. You guys are really nice. We'd love dinner. That's awesome. Whatever. So Kim's like, great. We're going to go back. We're making some kind of fettuccine variant or something. And so we go back to do it. And as we're going back, I say to her, I go, do you think they know we're the same people from that incident? Because there is a real feeling or a sense that... So if you knew Kim in 2016, she had long, dark hair. Dark black hair. Right. I was about 20 pounds lighter and also had a lot more hair. And it hadn't gone gray yet.
And
in that very sort of brief amount of time, you know, all of those things have changed. In fact, in 2017, when we all shaved our heads for Tina here at the house, that Kim never grew her hair fully back again. It's always, since then, it's been the mohawk thing.
Little point. Still purple?
No, right now not, but most of the time, she likes to do a color. So it's just been completely different from a overall look standpoint.
But plus, it's not like you guys haven't seen each other since 2016.
No, there's been times, like I said, when we helped him move the car out, but that was in that was right before Nick moved out, so that'd have been 2019.
Okay.
So we didn't see them hardly at all during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I saw him once at a neighborhood barbecue where he wanted to talk about podcasts. So we sat and did that, and that was surreal because this guy, you know, was making threats and suddenly he's not. So, and it was fine. It was all very lovely and everything, but there's just, I just get this feeling that they are not sure we're the same people that used to live there. I could be dead wrong, but it feels like from like 2019 and on, they might be under the impression that somebody else came and helped him get the car out. Somebody else moved in there and checks on him sometimes or is friendly at Halloween or whatever it is. All right,
well, you know, there might be something to that because there are houses on our street that I don't know if the people living there that I see and I wave to when they walk their dog and go by the house have been there for years or if they just moved in this last summer.
Right.
Like there are people now, not directly across the street. I know, you know, all the people basically in a two house radius around our house, like all the neighbors next door, the neighbors next door to them across the street, blah, blah, blah. But you go four or five houses up the way. Like we met one of our neighbors, on Halloween, because we went up there and wanted to see their whole setup, and they did a walkthrough horror maze in their garage with a lot of special effects and lights and stuff like that.
Sure.
And you know, we've seen their, like, it's the funniest thing, like their dog, I know their dog has lived here for years. But the owners, it feels like it might have been the first time I've ever seen them, even though somebody has to walk the dog and let it poop in our yard when it walks by.
Right. Yeah. So that's interesting. So I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
That this is the case, but it just you know what? The other thing is maybe it's just the way they talk to us. They have always have a look on their face like they're not sure.
Sure. But is it just her? Because it was just her that you interacted with yesterday.
Yeah, it's just her. And I barely ever see him, so we don't have that many interactions with him. But Kim's talked to her here and there. We had when she was very pregnant and was like 2 weeks overdue or something and out walking around, Kim was out there and says, oh, how's it going? Oh, we're 2 weeks over. And they had this whole conversation. But even Kim, who has had these conversations, said, yeah, I don't know. She says, I don't know if they do or not. Mm. That's and it's funny. Not like last night they're like and she goes and what's your name? It's almost like she forgot talking 2 weeks ago when they were out on the street and Kim's oh, it's Kim and here's my phone number if you need anything, if anything comes up while your husband's out of town, let us know. And so she jotted her number down, but I'm pretty sure they already had her number. So it's all just a little, there's just something, dude. I can't explain it. And they're being lovely. They're being very nice and they're awesome and they got you know, new Teslas all the time. It's, you can hear them driving up in the back going,
sure.
That weird sound they make.
Well, maybe it easily could be, it could be their way of saying, you know, all that weirdness that transpired with the dog poop. We're just going to put that behind us all and pretend we're going to pretend you're brand new people.
Yeah.
And,
maybe that's how they dealt with it.
Could be.
They shoved us into the past, forgot who we were on purpose. Yeah. And started anew. That's entirely possible. I don't know.
So when you have dinner with them later on, because I'm assuming, is it dinner while the husband's still at Disneyland, or are you going to wait for...
She made dinner last night, and we rewatched.
Oh, and took it over last night.
Yeah, we took it over last night, yeah.
So. Okay. Because the... I was going to say, you need to sit him down and say, hey, do you remember about 4 or 5 years ago, middle of the night, you were outside, you yelled something and then got in your car and drove off? Yeah. What was it?
Yeah, can you remind me that expletive that you yelled in front of my house while you had a baby in the car and all that stuff? And then when I went outside, you were already driving away really fast, but I couldn't hear you because it's a Tesla. Do you remember this? Like, I have such burned in specific memories of it.
That's funny. Yeah.
And I don't know if they do. They probably do. And this is just them kind of weirded out that we flipped it, that we turned it around, that everybody's getting along and that we're making food for you. And, you know, that part maybe has made them feel, I don't know. I don't know. We killed him with kindness, Brian. That's what happened. We killed him with kindness.
You know what? They if anyone know it was can Kim. Do it, it's Kim and you. But
yeah, mostly Kim. I just follow her in her wake.
That's right.
So anyway, it was weird, and I just thought I'd share it because I don't know. Maybe so something.
What's that?
No. Go ahead.
Oh, we went to a birthday party for my niece Madeline, Maddie. She's getting married next year. Love her fiance, and got to meet his parents. She turned 30, and so it was like a a big event, dinner, and before that, we went axe throwing, which the only other time I've been axe throwing is with you in Vegas.
Yeah, that was
part
fun.
Of the TMS Vegas, and that was a lot of fun.
Off Fremont, right? Is that where we went? The Fremont
It was on Fremont,
one?
Yeah. It was the Neonopolis or something area. I don't know if that place is still around, but I think...
it's kind of tucked back behind that Denny's over there, like the...
Yes, the Denny's with the wedding chapel
in it.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yes.
So weird. Yes. Anyway, yeah, it was fun.
Did the axe throwing, and we're laughing so hard. We're having fun. You know, one of my other nieces was there, and she... Just because she's super girly girl, when she would throw it, she would twist her body and be like all weird when it was like kind of afraid that it was going to bounce back and hit her and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I made the comment that she looked, her final pose after she throws it, she kind of looks like a hood ornament with like the, you know, Mercury or something.
That's cool.
And so we're laughing and, you know, laughing so hard tears are coming to my eyes, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Well, I go up and I do the axe, and you're supposed to be really careful. Like, you know, when you pull the axe out of the target, you lift it straight up to kind of rock it out of its hole. You don't stand in front of it and pull it straight back into your face. Yeah. You have to kind of, you know, wiggle it out of its...
There's ways to do it, and there are ways not to do it. And you were doing it the way you're supposed to do it.
I was doing it the way it was supposed to do it. And then, of course, when it's the next person's turn, you hold it by the blade, and you put the handle out towards them to grab it. And all of these things I was doing, I went up and I got close to a bullseye, went up, pulled it out the right way, and then grabbed it. And as I was grabbing it by the blade to turn it around to hand it to the next person, the blade, like the corner of it, just to show you how sharp these things are, barely grazed the back of my left hand. And I'll show you. I mean, you can't really see much, but like there's a slice.
Yeah.
More predominantly right here.
Kind of like a cat scratch, kind of a little bit.
Kind of like a cat scratch, exactly.
Yeah.
And
less fecal.
What's that?
I said less fecal matter in the cut, but
less
fecal
matter. Sure, exactly. Less, less that thing is going to puff up and poison you.
Yeah, yeah.
But just felt like it barely touched me, and so I handed it off to the next person, and I'm just waiting. We're still chatting and laughing with everybody, and then I look down and realize, oh crap, my hand is bleeding. Out of those wounds. I'm like, really? Wow, that thing was so sharp. I barely felt it. Like it cut the skin super clean, and was enough to break the skin, but I barely even felt it because it was so sharp. So I'm like, oh crap! And Tina's like, Tina gasps, like, no, it's fine. It's just a little bit of blood. It's totally fine. So I, you know, we're right by the bathroom. So I go in the bathroom. I'm gonna go wash it off and everything.
Sure.
And I wash it, clean with some soap, really good. Get some paper towels, kind of dabbing it off. And because I'm laughing so hard, after I dry my hands, I'm using the paper towel to kind of, you know, dab the tears out of my eyes.
Oh, I know where this is going. All right.
And this is when the manager comes in, who Tina had said, oh yeah, he cut himself, might need a Band-Aid. He comes into the bathroom just as I'm like dabbing my eyes with a paper towel. I'm like, oh no, I was laughing really hard. That's why I have tears.
That's funny.
I don't
funny,
need those sticky Band-Aids. I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, they were, you know, they worry because they probably have you sign a thing. You got to sign.
We did
in Vegas.
A thing on the way in that, like, I even read it, but basically just saying, I won't sue them if I take off a pinky or whatever.
It's like a video game EULA. You just sign it and move on and play your game.
Exactly. It's like, come on, I want to start killing monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of made it look like I was sobbing my eyes out from getting a little tiny nick on my hand. Yeah. But it was, oh my God, so much fun. And he, I can't remember if they did this at the place we went. I think we went to a place called the Axe Hole.
It was the Axe Hole. That's it.
Yeah. In Vegas. And this guy is the number, or was the number one knife thrower in the country as part of the knife throwing league, World Knife Throwing League.
I didn't even know that. I never heard of that. That's a new thing.
There's a thing for everything, Scott.
Wow.
And so he brought over and says, anybody want to learn how to throw knives? I'm like, yes, I want to throw knives at the target. I had such a blast throwing knives. Now it's harder than an axe because the axe, the weight of it, you know, you have a couple specific places and you can be a few inches back, a few inches forward, and it'll have enough rotations to stick in the board. With knives, you have to be in like one specific spot, and it's based on how hard you throw, like what, you know, angle your wrist is at and stuff. And so he would say, all right, move forward 2 inches. And I'd move forward 2 inches and it's like, shoong, right there. Perfect.
And it would go in. Weird.
The knife right in. That was my favorite thing to throw was knives.
Well, now that's such a blast with that. So that's interesting because there's a ton of rotations with a knife, right? Or more.
Yes. Yeah. More rotations than with an axe. An axe is like, and knife is like,
I guess if you do it enough, you probably get a feel for it and it just feels, you know what your wrist speed and your distance should be at any given time. If you're really good at it. That guy could probably throw a knife from anywhere and hit the target the way he wanted to.
He knows, like, because it's going to be the same for him. He knows that there are going to be enough rotations. He knows the specific places he has to stand for the number of rotations. So like either here or a foot and 4 inches back for one more rotation or whatever.
You know, I'm a little surprised that the axe was sharp enough to cut you. I would have thought those were kept more dull because they don't need to be super sharp to embed themselves in that wood, but, or that cork or whatever they're using. But I guess not.
Yeah, wood. Yeah. No, it's a sharp ass blades is what they were.
Well, if you're looking for Brian DNA, we know where to go.
That's right. I'll put some little vial and somebody can sell it to you on the streets of Austin.
That's right.
And,
get that going. Like Madonna's pap smear. We just watched like
Madonna's
movie.
Pap smear.
Yeah. It's the whole story. Don't come at
we'll
us.
Talk about that before the news, possibly.
Yeah, maybe. Time. We'll see. Anyway, let's get some, speaking of games, you know, kind of like axe throwing. Yeah. Let's throw some trivia around by adding Randy to this call, because Brian Dunaway has a thing and is stuck in an office trying to get something done for his dad at a doctor's office, and it's taking forever. So he's like, man, I can't do it today. And we're like, man, it's okay, we'll bring Randy in. So let's do it right now. Joining us right now is pinch hitter Randy Jordan. Hi, Randy.
Good morning, morning stream. Good morning. I have a story. So 48 hours ago, I went to make biscuits and I had a can of Pop Biscuits in the fridge. And in my entire life, I've always known people who are like afraid of Pop Biscuits, right?
Yeah, because they pop.
When it pops.
They pop. And I've always thought, oh, that's nonsense. That's nonsense. You just pull the wrapper off and then you tap them on the side of the counter. If they're really, really explosive, like maybe you have to like use a knife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's not a big deal. So I go, and as I start pulling the paper off the outside of the Pop Biscuits, this thing explodes and rockets into my body. Mm. And right now, 48 hours later, I have a circular bruise that you could see on my stomach. Yes.
From the recoil of the bottom of the Pillsbury can?
That's amazing. It is. I would never believe this if it had not happened to me. Like you could, it's just unbelievable. And it hit me so hard. I screamed. I was mad. It was like getting shot by a beanbag bullet or something.
What's your go-to brand? Do you do the Pillsbury, or is there another brand you like? Yes. Pillsbury, yeah.
Pillsbury, it's kind of like the standard.
Some kind of Grands Flicky Layers or something.
Sure. I have audio of you getting hit. Here it is. Oh, just kidding. Not really.
That's pretty much what I sounded like. It was so painful. And I'm telling you, a perfect circle bruise. It's like, I didn't know this was possible. And now I believe, I understand. Everyone out there who's afraid of those damn cans, I understand. I will never look at it the same.
Yeah, it'll never be the same. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you're, first of all, okay, and it's only a bruise. Second of all, that you're here pinch hitting. And you do, even your name sounds like a baseball pinch hitter.
It
Randy
does,
Jordan, stepping up to take a shot for the A's or whatever. I don't know. I can't think of anything.
Sure.
Anyway, Brian Ibbett over here has all the rules and all the regulations, I guess. So, Brian, explain those to people.
Please fill out this NDA form. Welcome to the morning. Half Ass is a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Randy a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct and three of which are, like my tears, false. Depending on how confident you are with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. But if you get any of those guesses wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Get one right gets you a point. Get two right. right gets you 3 points, and get all three correct, you get 5 points for that round. Player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. Who are these contestants, you may ask? Well, I will tell you. Scott, you're playing for Juan Toro from Boca Raton, Florida.
Okay. Feels like that's, I could retire there.
That's kind
there.
Of tuna you can get at the sushi place.
Sure.
Randy, you're playing for Michael Zwart from Amsterdam.
Okay. Nice. All right. Let's go.
Legalized hookers and sweet weed.
that's right. California too. So don't be too.
Yeah. And Nevada. Yeah. There's a few places you can get that stuff now.
I love it when you name a place and Scott just says whatever he happens to know about it.
That's the way, man. That's how I do. Yeah.
Exactly.
In my way.
All right. Let's get to it. Get your first question here, and let's we're talking about. Geography here. Let's go to geography, specifically currency. Tell me which of these six items, which three of these six items are actual currencies of Africa. Your choices are the Kwokwo, the Bagu, the Burr, the Moto, the Seti, and the Kwanzaa. Moto? Which three of those are actually currencies of Africa?
They all look like they could be. I have no idea. This is hard. I'm going to go with two and hope for the best. If I did three, I would feel like I overdid it. I know.
Why?
It's tricky.
Yeah, I feel so... Okay. I also went with two. Oh, I've screwed up so bad.
Maybe.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Neither of you picked the same ones, by the way.
Oh, nice.
You guys both, between the two of you, Scott, you chose Burr and Moto. Hello, Moto. Randy, you chose Bagu and Seti. You each chose one correct and one incorrect.
Damn it.
The actual answer is Kwanzaa is actually currency of Angola.
Oh, I didn't know. Believe so when you celebrate Kwanzaa in Kwanzaa, or no, sorry, you celebrate Kwanzaa with Kwanzaa. Right,
that's right. You're gonna buy some Kwanzaa decorations for Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Seti and Burr were the other two correct choices. Seti comes from Ghana. Burr comes from Ethiopia.
Oh, nice. None of these are dong like in Vietnam. I like the dong.
I know it's rand in South Africa because I was working for a company that got purchased by a South African company, and then they all came and met us. And my name is Randy, and they were like, "Oh, Rand, that's right." They like it.
It's short for Krugerrand, right?
Is it?
Sure.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody might be able to help me with that one. Let's get to the next question, shall
we? All right.
Let's go a little closer to home. Which of these six are colognes for men? Your choices are Quip, Dinosaur, Zipped, Cigar, Lucky You, and Showdown.
Oh, my
Three
Lord.
Of these are actual colognes for men.
I hate these. Cigar?
They all sound dumb, don't they? Yeah.
How can okay, it be cigar?
So, cigar? The problem is when you feel really strongly, like you know one of them for sure, and that's the one that's been made up. That's why you feel like you know it's for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
These all sound bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't want to put any of these on me. And I'm sure they're expensive, and I'm sure that people love them.
And you should have gotten the wrong three from Anchorman, by the way.
Yeah. Right, yes, exactly.
Yeah. I still haven't seen that movie.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, neither of them.
60% of the time, it works all the time.
I don't know why.
All right, you guys are both locked in. You both said Lucky You. And Lucky You is a Liz Claiborne cologne for men. Very good. Yeah. Zipped. Also is a cologne that's made by Performer's Workshop for some reason. Dinosaur is just a dinosaur.
Ah, shit!
So the answers were Cigar, Lucky You, and Zipped. Cigar is made by the Remy Latour company, and why would you want to smell like a cigar?
No I don't. Kidding.
I'm not. It's probably a gag name, though, right? Like, that's not.
Probably not gag. I'm guessing it's like the mystique of cigar smoking in your den. You're a man with a cigar. You know, it's that.
Yeah. Right.
And then it's probably
I want
real
you to
musky
know, you almost got me with Showdown. And I wonder if Scott thought that that's probably close.
I almost chose.
Like
yeah. I almost
Stetson
chose that.
And, yeah. Like, right from the makers of Stetson, Showdown.
I almost chose cigar because it sounded so impossible. And now I'm mad
really?
That I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dinosaur.
For years and years, I wore Tommy Bahama, and their signature cologne is so great. And you just can't find it anymore. Like, they, you know, That's
quit,
a company.
They quit making it, or what? What happened to them?
I think they still make it, but I can't. You know, like there aren't Tommy Bahama stores around anymore, yeah. And like I don't know where to get it.
Yeah,
interesting. Yeah, Remy Latour's Cigar for Men, 1996, introduced in 1986, a blend of sandalwood and patchouli.
Oh, sounds all right.
Yeah, that's actually not bad.
Except for the patchouli. I get enough of that at Red Rocks. I don't need to smell any more patchouli anymore.
Yeah,
ever.
Patchouli is probably. Yeah, that's a good point. It depends on how strong it is, but that sounds okay. I think I could work.
Yeah.
It. When I was younger, it occurred to me that women really decided what men's colognes.
Yes.
Were. So like, yeah, sure. I would be, you know, like hanging out with some friends and the one I was most attracted to would say, you know, I love Burberry Brit. And then the next thing I know I'm wearing Burberry Brit.
Yep.
Remember when Polo was like, you basically, if you did not own Polo cologne, you were hot garbage.
For us, it was Dracar Noir.
Oh, was it really? Okay, so Polo was a Colorado thing.
Oh, yeah. We were that in high school. People had it by the gallons, man. It was the thing. I avoided it because I thought it was way too cool, and I was being rebellious and thought it was cool not to like it. But everybody wore it except me and my nerd friends.
Oh, funny.
Because we were hipsters.
Wow. Yeah. Stood out. Stood your natural scent.
That's right.
All right, we're going into question number three. Randy's got 3 points. Scott needs some catching up. So here's your chance to catch up. Languages on the Rosetta Stone, not the software. That's easy. You can figure out what software languages you can find with Rosetta Stone. No, the actual physical Rosetta Stone, which I think is sitting in the National Museum of in London, if I remember correctly. I've seen it. Your choices are Egyptian Demotic or Demotic, Demotic, Ancient Greek, Linear A, Hieroglyphics, Aramaic, and Sanskrit. Our languages you will actually find on
Scott locked so fast. Wait a minute.
I'm going
really
with 3.
Did.
Oh, I'm screwed.
Yeah. I'm going with 3 that I feel confident about.
Wow. Okay.
I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to give it all. I'm giving it all.
You had to, right? You know, you kind of had to you had to go big or go home.
That's right. That's right. And I don't want to go home.
Choices. Well, I don't know.
I can see him making his choices as.
I don't know.
You get to see when stuff gets clicked, unclicked, clicked again, that kind of thing, right?
I do. I get to see the light. I think this may be the first time ever that between the two players, all 6 answers were chosen, which means.
What?
Yeah. So, every single answer on the board has an option. Obviously, it doesn't mean one person's all right or one person's all wrong, because that easily could be, you know, half of one, half of the other.
That'd be a shame.
Scott, you went with Linear A, Aramaic, and Sanskrit. I don't even know what Linear A is. Randy, you went with Egyptian, Demotic, Ancient Greek, and Hieroglyphics. We have a winner. Randy DeLuxe chose the 3 correct ones. Scott chose the 3 incorrect ones.
Holy
I swear
crap.
We are collaborating. I swear.
That's insane. Did you know this or was this a guess? What did you do?
So I was made to study it in high school. Like we had, there was a poster of the Rosetta Stone in my sophomore high school English class.
Yeah.
And so, I knew really, really well when you first put this up that Aramaic was not on the thing because, Aramaic is, the main thing for the main language for the Bible or whatever. Anyway, but, it's just the rest was just guesses.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm
well
impressed.
Done. Holy cow.
Yeah. Nicely done.
I've obviously we've seen the real Rosetta Stone, but I could not describe to you. I just remember it was black and it had a bunch of little carved out things on it. And I'm trying to figure out how do you have a bunch of languages on there? Is it all right, here's A and here's how you do A in ancient Greek and Egyptian Demotic. And here's the hieroglyphic for
it must be right.
A can stand for. Yeah.
It must be. I'm still blown away that even exists. That thing.
What I remember about it is that it goes from a much larger size font. That's not the word, but a much larger script to a really tiny one at the bottom.
Yes. And okay. I do remember that. Small. Yeah.
And it looks to me like somebody was late writing their essay. And
they didn't leave enough. Leave enough time or enough writing for the whole thing. Oh yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. Like that whole top section, the big font, as you say. Yeah, I wonder that might be hieroglyphics, and then the next chunk is much smaller. Dang, somebody. I mean, this is before you could go to CVS and pick up a pair of readers like I'm wearing on my face.
That's true, for a couple of bucks. Those are what they do back then? Only the really well sighted people could use the Rosetta Stone.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like 6-point type. Well, awesome. Right. Well done, Randy. You've won for that. Oh wait, I should play you a thing.
Congratulations, you're a winner.
This is for me though. Who gets the prizes, Brian?
Yeah, Michael Swart, you are getting a copy of Bendy and the Dark Revival and Pathologic 2. I know nothing about either of those games, but by golly, they sound fun.
Yeah, they sound great.
But Juan Toro, I feel like you might be the real winner here. You're getting a copy of Alan Wake's Collector's Edition.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody leaves empty-handed. You guys both get pretty darn good games for basically what? Typing your name in a form.
Yeah.
In a Google form.
You well did done. Nothing.
Really worked hard for it.
No work at all. Piece of cake. It's Jeez. The easiest thing you've ever done. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, lazy ooh, mother...
Speaking of speaking of Egyptian writing, either of you play Immortals Phoenix Rising?
Yes. Love that
Loved
game.
Loved it.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
game is so inexpensive on Epic right now. I don't know why I'm advertising for them.
People should grab it. If you don't already own that game, I bought it in two places is how much I like, because I like the cross save they did. But that game deserves a follow-up. I could not be more pissed at Ubisoft for canceling it, because they're not going to do it now. It didn't make enough money.
Really?
Yeah, they canceled the sequel they were making, and it pisses me the hell off, because that game is rad. And let me tell you the main reason it's rad. It's like, what if you took the best things about Breath of the Wild, but didn't break the weapons all the time?
Right. Loved
it. It was great. And it was actually funny, like the stuff between Zeus and what's his name that would narrate through the game as you ran around? Sarcophiles or whatever his name was.
Something, yeah.
So good. And that's hard.
Good puzzles, good fighting. Like the bosses were tricky to battle and stuff.
That's
the last game that I finished, actually. The last game I played. I take that back. Breath of the Wild. No, I
Tears
never
of the
beat
Kingdom.
The final boss on Breath of the Wild.
You beat Tears of the Kingdom, though, didn't you?
I'm sorry, Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah. No, I didn't beat the final boss of Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh,
I beat all of the bosses that lead to the last boss, but then Spider-Man came out that week, and I said, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Link.
That's what happens. Well, all right. Randy, you've been a fine stand-in today. You've done a great work here, and it's nice to have you in the wings when needed. You want to say anything to the people at home?
Have a really great week. Don't shoot yourself with biscuits, and I'll see you on Wednesday.
Bye now. See you later, Ring Belly. We're going to call him Old Ring Belly Randy.
Old Ring Belly.
Ring Belly Randy.
Very
all right.
Good.
Well done, everyone. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Let's do some quick news. It's time for the news brought to you by
Film Sack, where we just took a look at 1989's Slacker, the first real movie from Richard Linklater. How does it hold up? Well, tune in and find out, and maybe get a free Madonna pap smear in the process. Go to filmsack.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You think we're making up that pap smear thing? It's in the movie. It's featured.
It's in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't make it up. We're not being sexist. We're not being weird and gross. It's just in there. Okay. Even a lady says it. The drummer for the Butthole Surfers says it.
That's right. Exactly. Tries to sell it.
Yeah. She thinks she might be interested. It's weird, that movie.
That movie had a great concept, and had a great concept.
Yeah. It did. It was about an hour and a half too long.
Yeah.
But it had moments.
Its moments.
I appreciate it for what it did and what it was and when it was. But
yeah, I really liked the guy with the conspiracy theory guy. Oh, wait. That was two-thirds of the movie.
That was everyone.
Yeah.
No, the one in the bookstore, I'm serious, put him on a list. Keep your eye on that guy. I don't trust that guy.
That's a guy that has to introduce himself to the neighbors every time he moves.
Of course. Let's move on to the story here. We're going to tell the story of DC firefighter has been fired. They fired a DC firefighter in DC.
Oh, no.
After stopping for a Chick-fil-A while on an emergency call. We're getting a lot of these
What kind
lately.
Of Pokemon is a Chick-fil-A?
It does sound like one. If we weren't used to that name, we would. That would easily be a Pokemon name.
It totally easily could be, right? Yeah.
Oh,
ooh, I got a shiny Chick-fil-A.
What do you think they... What do they evolve into? A Popeye?
They evolve into a Canes.
A Canes, yeah. Ooh, I got a Raising Cane.
A Raising Cane. Oh, it evolved into a Raising Cane's.
That's
actually
amazing.
That would be the top level. Then Popeyes would be the middle level. So it evolved first into a Popeyes and then into a Raising Cane's at the end.
Although of those three,
yeah,
I still prefer the basic chicken sandwich. I prefer Popeyes of all of them.
Yeah, I do too.
There are now both have other things that I would prefer over other Popeyes things, but that one item, I think Popeyes has an amazing chicken sandwich.
Oh boy. They, over by us, they are building, a Chick-fil-A, over on Youngfield, and they're putting it, it's in the parking lot basically, or in this shopping center that also has a Hobby Lobby right behind it. Ooh. So, so if you're looking for a place to avoid gay people, make sure to go to the, the parking lot that has both a Hobby Lobby and a Chick-fil-A in
it. You can get your, chicken and you can get your crafts and no gays. Right?
And no gays.
Yeah. No gays at all. Although I still love that our local Chick-fil-A over here hired on purpose, the franchise owners hired like two or three gay kids to work there. Not on purpose, not like, oh, we got to hurry up and hire some gay kids.
I'm sorry, you're not gay. We're only looking for gay kids right now.
Yeah, because they were just like, they were feeling rebellious and wanted to stick it to corporate. DC firefighter is in trouble. He was with his partner. They stopped for fast food while on an emergency call in March. He has been terminated from his job, not from life. He wasn't killed. You can't say terminated, you know, without
Sarah Connor's son. No. He was just
he's more like, oh, I forgot his name. Who did Sean Bean or Michael Bean play? What was his character? Reese. He's more like Reese.
Reese, yeah.
Two firefighters, EMTs, assigned to an ambulance, ambulance number 3. They stopped for this thing in Northeast DC at around 4 p.m. on March 24th instead of responding to a call for a woman suffering chest pain at a Kaiser Permanente about a mile away. And we don't have Kaiser Permanente here because we're all IHC here, but that's like they have clinics and it's that kind of thing, right?
Okay. Yeah, and if she's, I mean, you know, in defense of the firefighter, if she's already at a Kaiser Permanente, what do they need firefighters for? What do they need EMTs for?
That's probably what they thought.
She's at a hospital.
Yeah.
she's at the place that the EMTs usually take them.
My guess is it was like a clinic style where they didn't have all the stuff.
Yeah, that's true, because some of them just have like a little urgent care clinic and no other really real big facilities.
But I could see that firefighter going, it's a Kaiser Permanente. We got time.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm not saying you're right.
I'm really not defending him, but yeah, I think you can wait for lunch. Yeah. You're taking this job, and you've taken this job with the knowledge that it supersedes anything else. Hunger, having to pee, having to poop, tired, any of that stuff. You do that first, and then you can do all your other things. But
Well, he is now officially no longer. This is the official word. Quote: no longer with the department. Unquote.
Well, he's got time for all the chicken and biscuits he wants.
Yeah, everything you want, it's all yours there, buddy.
Yeah.
Ape Fest happened. Have you heard of Ape Fest, Brian?
No, I have not heard of Ape Fest.
Well, I wish it was like people who studied primates or something like that. You know, you get Fosse to come and do a keynote speech. And
sure.
Is it Diane Fosse?
Diane Fosse, yes.
Uh-huh. You get Sigourney Weaver talking about her movie, Gorillas in the Mist, you know, whatever.
That's right, yes.
That's not what this is. This is people who bought those stupid Bored Ape NFTs.
Oh, geez. Really? So they figured out a way to make more money from those people.
Oh, my gosh, dude. It's such a scam. Ape Fest attendees report vision problems and extreme pain after the event. And here's why. Attendees of Yuga Labs Ape Fest, which happened on November 4th in Hong Kong, that's where it was held this year. I guess there have been multiples of these, have reported burns, damaged vision, and extreme pain in their eyeballs, which they attribute to the use of improper lighting. Somebody on Twitter posted, for example, woke up in the middle of the night after Ape Fest with such pain in my eyes that I had to go to the hospital, wrote one attendee, Crypto June. Crypto June.
Crypto June, yeah.
I mean, I'm trying. Look, I want to feel bad for eyes are precious. We need them.
Of course. Yes. I mean, we feel bad for the people in their eyes, but we don't feel we don't feel bad for the fact that their Bored Ape NFTs are not going to be worth the paper they're not printed on in 5 years.
Yeah, I don't care at all about that. Yeah. Doctor told this person, quote, it was due to UV from the stage lights. I go to festivals often, but I've never experienced this. It says one attendee noted many of those reporting eye problems were up in the up close area near this lighting display near the event's main stage. Neither ApeFest guest, who goes by the name or the pseudonym Field on X, Feld on X. It screws me up when they say X. They mean Twitter.
I know, me too, yeah.
Described identical symptoms. Quote, anyone else? Eyes burning from last night. Woke up at 3 a.m. with extreme pain and ended up in the ER. In Hong Kong, where you don't know English or you don't know Mandarin or whatever.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Oh, God. Yeah, that'd be the worst. Uh-huh. So, yeah, you know, like when I have a UV curing light for my 3D prints, right? So after they come out, wash them off in an alcohol bath, take them out, let them dry, and then put them in the UV, a little UV turntable that cures them the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And that's got a shield that goes over it that this thing won't run unless that shield is on there. So obviously, you know, UV, not a thing that you want burning in your eyes at any level. And the fact they had this on stage and had some pointed at the audience, dumbasses.
Yeah, dumb.
Just
so dumb. Why were they thinking? I mean, there are other ways to do colorful, interesting lighting.
Sure.
Don't UV light. I mean, the whole reason people have to wear sunglasses in the sun and like also put on sunscreen and shit and not die. What are you doing?
UV protection. Exactly.
Yeah. These ape people. They don't know what they're doing. I would trust an ape more than I would these people.
Than someone who buys a Bored Ape NFT.
Yeah.
For sure.
Or goes to Ape Fest. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Scientists have created a chimeric monkey with two sets of DNA. They found one set in the jungle, and they found the other set in an axe-throwing place in California. Recently, what? Just like yesterday. Yeah, it's crazy.
What?
So he's half Ibbit. Scientists based in China have created a monkey chimera.
California?
Didn't I say Colorado? I thought I said Colorado, did I not?
No, you said California. Oh, that's shit. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I got my C states mixed up. They created a monkey chimera with two sets of DNA, experimental work that they say could ultimately benefit medical research and the conservation of endangered species. The monkey, which lived for 10 days before being euthanized. Why? Let him live. Why'd you kill the
moa? I don't know. Maybe there was a reason. Maybe there was some pain it was going through or something because of its mixed genetics.
He was a very bored ape, and they wanted.
He was
to
a bored ape.
It was made by combining stem cells from a cynomolgus monkey.
Cynomolgus.
Mulgus. I should try to say that. Also known as a crab-eating or long-tailed macaw.
Macaque. Come on now.
I wanted to make that right.
I know.
Away.
You wanted to try to pronounce it.
Macaque.
Yeah. Listen, when you get these words that can be said like this, you got to take advantage of every opportunity.
Yeah, I should just say it. Let's see. A primate used in biomedical research, which genetically distinct embryo from the same monkey species, in the world's first live birth of a primate chimera created with two stem cells, or with stem cells. It's a proof of concept. It was a study thing. I still think you ought to let the monkey live. If he was
I mean, exactly. If there had to be a reason that they euthanized it. Because otherwise, I mean, obviously they'd want to keep it alive to study it and see how it develops and stuff like that. So there must have been a reason.
Must be. They don't say in here, though. Anyone out there in that business?
They had to euthanize Brundlefly, so they'll have to euthanize the monkey.
That's true. Poor Brundlefly.
Help me.
That's from the first movie. All right. We're going to now take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll get an actual person who really is into science. Okay.
Cool.
He's not a scientist so much as he is a science enthusiast, but
he's more of a scientist. Scientist.
There you go.
He's a scientist.
Yeah. Then you could hear that and mishear it almost and think he might be a scientist and it's still
right.
Cool.
Exactly. Yes.
I like that. Anyway, he's coming up after this break. We're going to do a little song. Brian, do the song. What's the song?
Yeah. This one came to us from Hey Clown Baby. Got a couple of requests that were indie in the middles this week. So this is the first of them. Hey Clown Baby says, hello, you two beautiful bastards. I have an indie in the middle request. I went to college with the lead singer and founder of The Fae. Zach in Lincoln, Nebraska. It was always a great time going to his live shows, and I figured I'd give him some love by promoting his music. The song was recorded in LA, but he does most of his work in Omaha. I already messaged him and he gave me permission to play his music. He actually even picked this song, Wolf of the Wild, to be played on the show. Love the show though. Hey Clown Baby.
Nice.
This is great. This is the Fae. This is from the 2021 album Palm Tree Shade. If you like this, make sure to check out more of their music. The Fae, spelled F-E-Y, the Fae, and Wolf of the Wild.
It's whack, young and wild, gripping down something good. These hills are of the lover's praise, the scent of Californication. Now what you say, we rumble through these woods? No, I don't toy with Mother Nature. I bow my head and let her play. They say the reaper comes hunting, and I ain't hard to find. Propane and women, money on my mind. I'm the wolf of the wild, baby. Going to town, baby. Yeah, yeah. Ain't no sailing through my skies. Send another over, mama. I can't be sober now. See, they gon' try to run me out this town. I can hear the tide speaking to the moon. Baby, don't cry, I'll be home soon. Left a trail of tears for you. I pray my son don't try and catch you. Lord knows I await my doom. Say the reaper comes hunting, and I ain't hard to find. Propane and women, money on my mind. I'm the wolf of the wild, baby. Na 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 na, go to town, baby. Na 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 na, yeah yeah. Ain't no selling to my skies. Yeah 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 yeah. Ain't no selling to my skies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is it possible for you guys to, like, do what you gotta do without talking so much?
You never saw such a sick bunch of men in your life.
And we're back. Hey, who was that one more time?
That's the Fae and a song called Wolf of the Wild from their album Palm Tree Shade.
Excellent.
Ain't it, though?
That's the best shade, dude.
It is palm tree shade because you know, if you're someplace that's got palm trees, mm-hmm. you're already winning.
Yeah.
And then you're in the shade, double win.
My buddy Darren is in, well, I guess he's on a boat. He's on a cruise, but I think he's going to get out in like Mexican places with palm trees.
Mm-hmm.
I wish nice. I was him right now. That'd be nice.
Me too. Yeah.
It's getting cold here. Not as cold as it is in the hearts of Southerners. I'm making all that up. Let's just play his intro. Here it is.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
That Bob in question is Bobby Frankenberger.
Yes.
The best burger in the tri-state area or something to that effect. Bobby, like that. It's nice to see you. How the heck are you? What's going on over there?
Does every state have a tri-state area? And how is it?
No.
I bet Hawaii doesn't have a tri-state area.
I know that New Mexico, Arizona, and is Utah part of that? I'm not sure, but there's some place out here where you can stand right where they all meet, and it's like a little corner thing, and they have like a whole it's not
well
like
you're talking about Four Corners, right?
Yeah, Four Corners, that's what I'm thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah,
that's sort of well that, that's like, that'd be quad,
that's
state.
Quad state.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah exactly. No, like some states have like what was it, Indiana, Ohio, there's like some tri-state.
They're the main tri-state, right?
Are they? Is that?
I think
two of the three. What would be the other one?
Indiana, I don't know.
Ohio
this.
And Michigan.
I don't know this. Maybe they should just always say, like, if there's three, just say for every three states. So me and Brian and up, in, let's say I don't know Montana. There's our tri-state. That's the tri-state area.
All right, so I've got a list. There are a lot of tri-state areas. So the New York tri-state area is New York, New Jersey, Connecticut.
That's the one.
Sometimes
about, yeah.
Pennsylvania, part of that. The Philadelphia tri-state area, which is Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh tri-state area, which kind of the same. Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia. Erie, the Minisink, the Berkshires. Massachusetts, Connecticut, and
so,
New
so
York.
So Pennsylvania belongs to multiple tri-state areas?
It does, yeah.
Wow.
The New York tri-state area and the Philadelphia tri-state area.
Wow, that's cool.
They love their tri-stateness.
Yeah.
Chicago tri-state area, which is Indiana, Wisconsin, and Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of these tri-state areas. So I guess it's basically where you've got states where
there are
there's
three
a city.
Of them.
Well, I mean, there again, aside from Alaska and Hawaii, every state
butts
touches
up against
more
enough.
Than one other state, right?
Right.
So,
right.
So it's basically where you've got three states that connect, and there's a fairly major city nearby, and then you call it a tri-state area.
That must be it. But the reason I also think there's a reason other? They don't do it out here in the West is because we're sprawled too much. It's not easy to say there's an area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even that Four Corners thing is kind of out in the middle of nowhere, right?
Oh, does Maine doesn't touch more than one state?
No, nope,
right?
Just Maine touches only, New Hampshire.
Just touches New Hampshire, right?
Okay. Inappropriately, though, in a way that.
Can you show me on the map where
where
New Hampshire
touched
you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, Bobby, that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're going to talk about some science stuff. Before we get to what you brought, though, can I play you a thing that I thought was interesting? Are you down with that?
Of course you can.
All right. So this is just some audio.
It's your show.
This is some audio about how this is now what scientists believe, according to the Sandia National Laboratories. Yeah. They believe that this is what T-Rexes sound like now. All right.
Oh, great.
So just for comparison, I meant to bring this up. Let me do it real quick. Let's play the Jurassic Park T-Rex roar. Oh, that music's so good. Even you doing that makes me excited.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So this is the biggest roar from
the
T-Rex.
Okay. Wait.
All right, that's what we were told. We've thought for years this is the sound. That's what we're going to have, and that's what we think. And even that, at the time, I remember Spielberg saying in an interview, they were trying to approximate stuff based on current knowledge of vocal cord stuff and things that we knew then.
Did
but
he
we've
really
learned
say
more.
That? Because I remember watching a documentary where they were just like, "Well, we took an elephant and we mixed it with a lion." And
well, maybe they lied to him because he was told that he said this in some DVD thing or something. Because they wanted
maybe they were trying to approximate it by using other animals.
Right, exactly. So you get there however you get there. But now this is what they think, and I have now lost all respect for T-Rexes. Here's what they think they sound like now. Not that part.
Oh.
Hold on.
Is it laughing?
The thing is, there's like a big
Hold on, I think that T-Rex wants to merge. Better let it in.
Do you know how those there's birds that do like weird gug, like that? There's stuff moving. Yeah. They think that's what's going on with the T-Rex now. And there's a whole bunch more info about it, but it's really hard to. That reminds me of that burping guy we had all those years ago, Brian.
Yes, that's what it sounded like.
That guy. Yeah. Don't worry, Genie. We won't play the file. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. We'd share that.
That's great.
So
that
feathers.
Is really interesting.
Now they got feathers. Now they got this voice. What's
next?
Yeah,
I think the way they do that is they get like as complete a skull as they can, and then they try to figure out how it resonates, and they blow air through things. And
yeah,
stuff like that.
It makes sense, right? Like that they would have that. We should be able to approximate that stuff better now than ever. And so I'll take their word for it, but I'm not going to be scared by that. I'm just going to hear that and go, dude.
No, it just sounds like my sister-in-law when she blows her nose.
Wow,
it's just really.
I have an image of your sister-in-law that I will try not to share with anyone now that you've said it. Bobby, what did you bring to the science table today? What are we doing?
Well, I have a quick thing to start with, and then I want to get into another thing. We'll see how long we have for the second thing. But the first thing, it was I just noticed in Discord somebody tagged me. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Andy W5x5. You know who that is? Yeah. Anyway, saw an article about a black hole that was expelled from a galaxy and was flying through the universe at like breakneck speeds, and was like asked, "What is this about?" We covered it on our show, All Around Science, a little while ago, and it was it's a pretty interesting story. Just real fast, it was Hubble found a supermassive black hole that was not in a galaxy at all. It was just a rogue supermassive black hole. And for context, supermassive black holes are usually those black holes that they know now are at the center of almost every galaxy.
Yeah.
So it's weird to find it by itself, but not only did they find it by itself, but it was going through the flying through the universe super fast enough to go from the moon to the Earth in 14 minutes. It's 5.6 million kilometers per hour.
Oh my gosh.
And that's really, really fast. In fact, it was they saw it because they were able to see that it was creating like compression waves in gas that it was going through. So it was just really fast going through stuff. And but the way they noticed it at first was all this image. They saw a trail of what were stars flying behind it. There's like this weird line, this weird trail of stars following behind it.
That doesn't seem cataclysmic at all. Like it's a bad thing. You know, right. Like, man, that sounds like if this thing's got enough gravitational pull and velocity to yank a bunch of stars with it.
Well,
holy
here's
shit.
The really interesting thing about it is, because that's your first thought, right? Is, oh, it's pulling a bunch of stars with it.
Yeah.
But what they found is that, and this is even cooler to me, is that the reason there's a trail of stars behind it is because this black hole passes through like gases and nebula in the universe, and it's moving so fast and it's got so much gravity and it creates these compression waves that it actually causes stars to be born. So that trail of stars is not being dragged along with it. It's just literally like as it passes by, it causes a star to form.
He's just farting out stars as it goes. You know, it's like Brooke. Yeah. It's like Shawshank Redemption and Brooks going through handing people books from the cart. It's just like
here. Really.
That's right. You get a star. And you get a star. And you get a star.
There you go. Wow.
Just going, leaving new baby stars in his wake. but I just thought that was really interesting and thought I'd mention it because it's pretty cool. They think it was expelled. Why was it not with a galaxy? They think it was part of a binary black hole system that was in a galaxy, and then another galaxy came and smacked into it. And so there are three black holes in a system together. It would just be too much. One of them got launched out.
Okay, so flung it out of there because of the forces at play. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome, actually. I mean, like, you're talking about the most cosmic scale thing I think we've ever talked about on here. That's massive.
Well, let's kick it up a notch.
Okay. What? Bigger than that?
Bigger than that? What?
So there's a paper that was released. I think it was first written earlier in the year, but it's made its way into Archive, the preprint server that a lot of papers go into. So this caveat, this paper has not been fully peer-reviewed yet. But the idea is that some scientists are describing what they think might have been a second Big Bang that happened only about a month after the Big Bang we know about. And they think this second Big Bang is might be what's responsible for creating all the dark matter in the universe.
Okay.
So what is dark matter? Real quick, dark matter. Well, it's tough to talk about dark matter because we actually don't know what it is.
what do we think it is?
Yeah, but what we do know about it is that it's something out there that interacts with all the matter that we can see gravitationally, very strongly. But it does not interact with electromagnetic radiation, which is why we call it dark matter, because we can't see it. Electromagnetic radiation includes light, X-rays, everything on the electromagnetic spectrum, which is what all of our telescopes, be either radio telescopes or just visual telescopes, they all are detecting stuff on the electromagnetic spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. But dark matter doesn't interact with other matter in that way. And so we can't see it, but we can see the effects of it, right? Mm-hmm. It was the term was first coined back in the 30s when Fritz Zwicky, which is a great scientist name, Fritz Zwicky just noticed that there was a cluster of galaxies that were all orbiting together, like this galaxy cluster was moving together. But when he did the math, there shouldn't have been enough stuff for those galaxies to hold together. In fact, after he crunched all the numbers, he found that of the observable matter in this galaxy cluster, it would only account for like 1% of the forces necessary to hold the cluster together.
Oh.
And so he, back in the 30s, proposed some kind of matter that had to have been there that must have been exerting very large gravitational forces, and he called it dunkle materie, or dunkle materie.
Okay. I think you nailed it. I'm sure you nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll have to go check Zikipedia or whatever that guy would be on.
Zwikipedia. But yeah, this is German for dark matter. So he did that. And then Vera Rubin later came by, and she was a scientist in the 70s who collected tons and tons of data from 60 different galaxies and confirmed that dark matter must be everywhere, because all of these galaxies were rotating. The outer arms of these spiral galaxies were rotating far faster than they should have been. And the only way to account for that must be that there's other stuff in the galaxies causing them.
Stuff we can't see. Right.
Stuff we can't see. Right.
Yeah.
And we still can't see it. And we don't.
How come we don't have instrumentation at all that can see it yet, right? We're still in the dark.
Until very recently. Okay. So the only way that this seems to interact with matter is gravitationally, right? That's the only way we even know about it. That's the only thing we know the only force that it seems to be able to exert on the matter that we can see. So theoretically, we might be able to detect it with gravitational wave detectors, which are a very new thing, right?
So new. Yeah.
And that's what this paper actually proposes. Not only does it propose that there's a second Big Bang that may have caused all of the dark matter, because that's a big question, right? Like, if it doesn't interact with regular matter, then how was it even made in the first place? Right? Mm-hmm. Because it has no interaction with regular matter. Right. So all the ways that
what can happen to cause its creation or produce it.
Right, exactly, because how did that happen? And it's kind of been like ham-fistedly suggested that maybe at a certain point early on in the universe's creation after the Big Bang, things cooled down enough and it just sort of like fell out of all the stuff. But that's not really been a very satisfactory explanation, because it's just they're just like, well, maybe it just happened.
Yeah.
The authors of this paper propose that it's entirely possible that another Big Bang happened about at a certain point in the universe's creation where conditions might have allowed it to happen. And the reason that this is so in order for this to work, there has to be also another field of energy that holds dark matter, and they call it the dark field. If that does exist, then it's possible that this other Big Bang happened that created that dark field, and then dark matter came out of it. The reason it's a good theory, they think, is that, well, it would explain why it doesn't interact with matter.
Yeah.
And it would explain how it could be possible if it doesn't interact with matter, because it was an entirely separate event.
Right.
But that's really all they're able to do with it. A lot of the math checks out to make it possible, but it's not really. The tough thing is it testable? And they do think that it is testable, because if it did happen this way, it would have created gravitational signatures in the sort of gravitational background waviness of the universe, and those signatures can be predicted mathematically, and we should be able to detect them, because if we can predict what it should look like, then we can try to look for it, yeah. Right?
That's some of that calculatable determinism stuff that I've been getting into lately. Not the everything's determined theory. I mean, like,
right.
If we have the right math, then you can accurately predict all sorts of shit. And I love that.
Right, and that's cool. Important for how science works, right?
Right.
Science isn't collecting a bunch of data and then looking for something interesting in the data. That's backwards. The way science works is that we, based on what we can see, we make a hypothesis and we figure out how what would be the way we would test that hypothesis, and then we go and look for it. We try to confirm or deny the hypothesis.
Right.
We can't confirm one, but you at least try to prove it wrong, and if sure. you can't prove it wrong, then there's a good chance that it might be right.
Right. Then you keep moving down the path and finding out other reasons why it should get in the way. I mean, I'm sure that there's, you know, finding out where maybe dark matter came from and that it is there is one thing, right?
Right.
But then when we get better and better at understanding it and exploring it, I'm sure there are answers we have no questions for yet. You know, like a lot of stuff in science, it's like,
or questions we don't even know to ask yet.
Right.
You know?
Right. Until sometimes learning more opens the door, and then we're like, oh, okay, well now how come that's true then? Brr, 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 brr. Right. I love it. My astrophysicist obsession in the last month or so continues unabated. I'm into it. So I'm really glad you brought this.
The universe
today.
Abounds with incredible things that we have yet to discover, and it's so interesting, I think, to find new stuff that we don't understand, because we sit in this, I think probably every generation and every all along the way has probably thought this, but we feel like we're sitting in this particular space and time when we're like, well, there's nothing left to figure out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we've got it all figured out, but it's clear, and I and maybe we live in a unique a relatively unique time in that sense, because everything, science and technology and everything, advances so quickly. It's almost like hard to say that we figured it all out, because we see at such a rapid pace new things being discovered, you know?
Yeah. And not just new things getting discovered, but new things that contradict things that we previously believed, or at least augment or change the things that we previously believed. So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, I love that.
The phrase exact science isn't such an exact thing anymore.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, with all these new gravitational wave detectors, as those get more accurate and better, then presumably we'd be able to one day test it. We can't test it yet. We don't have the resolution. Like, they've done the math and they know what you would need to look for, and we just don't have the resolution to see the signature that would be there if this actually happened. But when we finally get there, they'll presumably start looking for it.
Sure. Well, when we get there, if it's in the lifespan of the morning stream, we'll talk about it here on the show. We'll
talk about right
exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
But there's other stuff.
The news.
We'll fill it in with other stuff in the meantime. Don't worry.
And if the morning stream's not, we'll just reboot the morning stream.
Yeah, we'll reboot it. We'll let AI run it. We'll all be dead by then,
oh,
but
yeah,
it's fine.
True. Yeah, good point.
It's true.
Sure.
Whatever.
Just like the Seinfeld show.
Yeah. I heard they're.
Right. Yep.
I heard they're. This is so funny you brought that up. But there's talk that they're actually going to do a reunion short series, like the show's
no
going.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to get Elaine, George, Kramer, and
is Kramer going to be there?
Yeah, they're bringing Kramer.
I know, right?
He just published a book. Called, I forget. I'm sure he addresses that thing in it.
Oh, he better. Yeah.
His N word stayed.
It's like the only reason people are going to read that book, right?
Exactly.
Is
he mentioned it.
Yeah. But I don't know. They could maybe pull it off. You get the right people in charge. Maybe Larry David pops over and helps. I don't know.
It would have to be, yeah. Because I felt like we got good closure with the Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, that's what I was thinking season. Is why yeah. I only feel like it's not necessary because Curb Your Enthusiasm, A, is kind of a Seinfeld anyway.
Yeah.
And B, they did Seinfeld on that show. So.
And they also absolutely addressed and had a great time with Michael Richards' stage mess.
Yes.
And right. they handled it really well. And the fact that Leon was there and was part of that was amazing. And like, they really did a good job.
Are they so impressed with the success of the Frasier sequel that
How's that going? Is it, I've heard it was all right. Is it bad?
Oh, really? Oh, I haven't heard anything good about it, but I'm guessing maybe it's that I haven't heard much about it.
Yeah, I guess there just hasn't been a lot of talk. I haven't heard a lot about it either. Well, anyway, that's a fun way to end a science discussion. Bobby, tell people where All Around Science can be found so that people can get more of your thoughts in their head.
Oh, you know, do we even need to tell people where podcasts are found anymore? You can find my podcast, my All Around Science. Me and my co-host Moore, we talk about science every week, science news, science stuff, just whatever we can, whatever we feel like talking about, because we just love science. And that is just everywhere that you get podcasts, just search All Around Science. We just talked about, I just did a whole thing on allergies. What are allergies and how are allergies different than food, like sensitivities and intolerances and stuff like that.
Right.
And
that's a good distinction because some people, you know, I have a reaction if I have really a certain kind of hot pepper, but then other kinds of hot peppers don't bother me at all. I wouldn't call that an allergy.
Yeah, I'd call jalapenos make me hiccup.
Yeah. And, oh, that's right. We've talked about that. Really? You get hiccups from it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I get hiccups from jalapenos, but not from habaneros or ghost peppers or any that's other you know, serranos. Yeah. Or
I get hiccups when people say Japalinos, and then I get hiccups when they just say it.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
I just get, I go into a hiccup fit, and it takes all night.
So that makes me my eyes roll.
Weird.
Straight into the back of my head. Yeah.
That's like it's a sensitivity or something. But yeah, no, something. That sounds interesting because there are distinctions there, and I think it's good for people to know those.
For sure.
I had this kid who I knew when he was a kid. His name was Jared Kirby. Really cool kid. But he had severe peanut allergies, like really bad, 2-3 trips to the ER. Like his childhood was riddled with, wait, make sure there are no peanuts anywhere near him. And then around 18, 19, poof, gone. Something changed in his metabolism somewhere, something. No one saw it as miraculous. We just were like, well, I guess whatever you grew up into, you're fine now. So you can eat peanuts now. You can touch them.
They can come and go.
It's weird, man.
I have a cousin who is severely allergic to milk, and it's the same thing. If there's like even a tiny bit of, it's not just milk, it's any dairy.
Yeah.
And there's a tiny bit of cheese particle or something on a spoon. Like everything has to be very, and that's not the same as lactose intolerance.
Right.
For reasons that we talk about.
Which are a little bit more, interesting. A little more going on there.
That's what I get. Yeah.
Yeah. Brian gets
crop dusted snowbird.
Yep. They still talk about it up there as a legend.
They do. Yeah. Well, there's still parts of snowbird you can't go into.
Yeah. They're not allowed.
Off by yellow tape.
There's a whole east wing and you can't get
there's
in
like
there.
A plaque.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah,
on the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
Commemorating it like wartime memorials, all that stuff.
Yeah. It's like Ernest Hemingway slept here. Brian a bit farted here.
Farted here. And he never left. Bobby, have a fantastic rest of your science week, and may World of Warcraft treat you well, because I know you're playing right now.
Oh, yeah. That's been...
Never stopped.
I know. Never. He never really did stop. He kept playing.
No. He and Alex and their raid team, which I had such a great time with. Actually three raid teams that I had such a good time with, and they were the most recent of the three. And And when I come back to WoW, and I probably will at some point.
Yeah.
Those are the guys I'm going to be looking up. I'm looking you guys up.
Looking up your skirt. Let's go.
See if you'll let me back in. Can I please come back in and hit monsters with my stabbies?
Can I? Can I hug the floor for most of the fight? Would that be okay?
Can I use my ketchup packets on my character and join your raid team?
I love that they called them ketchup packets.
Ketchup packets.
Yeah, it was really great.
Fantastic.
Okay, we are at the end of things. The end of times. End times. Yeah. But
end times.
End times. We should check in on him. He's probably just doing
rosaries. We should check in on Third Eagle, make sure he's hasn't gone to that big leopard in the sky.
Yeah, probably. He still just does rosary crap. Right?
Yeah, it really turned into just literally phoning it in.
Yeah. Let's take a look here. Third Eagle. Yeah, pray, Mary. Mugshot heard around the world. Oh, that was 2 months ago. Oh, he's slacking on his updates.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, two months, 3 months.
We're ever
going
to get another song from him?
I mean, let's hope not. Let's hope never. Yeah. Maybe. Anyway, let's tell you a couple things here. Quick text from, did we get a name? Yeah, Brian from Waxed. Hatchie, Texas?
Something like Waxahachie.
Waxahachie, Texas? Something like that.
I don't know how to pronounce that. Something like that.
He says, hello, my name is Brian from that place in Texas, and I have a question for the show. Do you say higher and higher the same way? Well, clearly I do.
Right. Yeah, higher is in the... This building is higher than this other building, and higher, can you hire me for that job?
Right.
Those two hires. For those of you who are, other than Scott and me, listening to what we're saying, I'm not reading it.
He says, don't. I think he means you don't.
Yeah.
But I know.
I don't. I think he's saying I don't, but I don't know how to explain the difference.
He put the word do. It's one of those English, it's like two and two and two. Like,
Not for me. I think because higher is two syllables.
Higher.
The comparison is two syllables, and higher is supposed to be one syllable. So I say higher and higher.
Higher, higher. I don't know if I can make myself do it.
Exactly.
Higher?
Higher. Oh, is this... Boy, we sure get higher in Colorado than any other states. By the way, I'm trying to get hired for the dispensary down the street.
Well, let's combine them. Let's say I want to test your weed at your weed company. So you're going to hire me to get higher.
Yeah, but you definitely do H-I-R-E as a two syllable.
I totally do. Yeah, absolutely do. I never noticed it before, but I guess I do.
We're trying to hire an intern for the show. Just got to make sure that they're not higher than higher than.
It's another one of these H words done away with. Hara, whatever he does.
Hara, yeah. Because I mean, you know, for me, it sounds like I'm talking about a sex worker. Horror. You know, I don't like horror movies except for Clute and Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, those are good.
Two great horror movies.
That's amazing. We got some confusion from Michael in an email. That last thing was a text, 801-471-0462. Here's an email from Michael. There's some confusion. He says, Scott, feel free to read this on the show. On episode 2543, you and Brian were talking about cremation and then proceed to mention about your cremated remains being fed to old people in the form of brownies. Where did this sick joke come from? And is it actually not a joke? Love the show, bro. Michael. No, it's no joke.
It's no joke.
To be... I mean, I don't really want this. All right, you want the truth? I don't really want this. But I kind of do.
You kind of want it. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of do. I like the idea of my ashes being mixed in with a beautiful batch of brownies. I don't mean bad brownies. Sure. I mean like a really great, you know, best recipe we can find.
Only the best brownies.
Best brownies. And then feed them to the old people at the old folks' home.
We'll serve them to the people at the GOP conference. And that'll be delicious because they're made from the best bones.
You guys doing all right in the chat? You guys all right?
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Usually, it's a good way to see how long our delay is because I could do the voice and then count to seven and then start seeing the... Yep, there it is right there from Rainbow Bright and Genie. And
they hate it. All right. Well, anyway, Michael, no, that is the thing I've said. I don't actually want to. I think there's legality issues. There's definitely a legal issue here. I'm not going to make whoever I leave in this planet, if it's my kids or my wife or whatever, I'm not going to make them do this. It's illegal for them to do this. I just like the idea.
Yeah, but here's the deal. What you have to do is give each of them a job that doesn't that doesn't involve the other children. So Taylor's job will be to take your body to the crematorium and have have it put into a container. Maybe not an urn, but a container.
Okay.
Then that urn will be, or that container will be left somewhere, and it'll be Carter's job to come pick up that box of powder and take it to Nick. Nick will take that box of powder and say, oh, this is what I'm supposed to make brownies from. Cool. He has no knowledge of what went on before to produce that powder. He's just going to make the brownies. His job is take the powder, make brownies.
Break the brownies, and deliver the brownies. And then some Kim or one of their kids, like Van, the grandson, will take the brownies to the actual thing.
Van's got to actually deliver the brownies. Yes.
All right, there's a plan here. Although it feels like Taylor talks to somebody else in the chain, the realization will happen.
No, you got to tell them. You have to talk to them each individually and say, here's what I want you to do. And if you discuss this with any of your siblings, you're out of the will.
Yeah, you're out of here. You're not going to get my hard drive.
The only thing I'm going to leave to you is a slash Funko Pop that that you have to somehow get rid of. You'll be saddled with that thing for the rest of your life.
Well, they do the will now. That's pretty boring. It's a lot of nerd shit.
It is,
A microphone, I guess. You can have that. I don't have much else. My gaming PC. Enjoy.
Trench Wildfire says, this is a perfect secret plan that was just broadcast to thousands of people. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. 30,000 people will hear this, and I'm sure no one will tell anyone. It'll be fine.
Right.
Exactly. Hey, check this out.
What you should do is eat some, before you die, have the last thing they feed you is some cocoa powder and some hydrated eggs or the dehydrated eggs and butter and stuff like that. And
some,
then
like,
there's very little, like, you'll come out, like, basically they'll just put your body on a brownie tray going into the crematorium. And if the bag comes out of the other side, it'll be brownies.
And no one's the wiser. Yeah, well, except the guy pushing me through, I guess. Yeah. But no, that's a great idea. I like it. I'll just eat some Sara Lee frosting.
Some brownie. There you go. Yep, exactly.
Just eat that before I die. All right. We have a plan. Let's get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for supporting us on Patreon. Those who have, when I say everybody, it's not everybody. A portion of you have. A select few, if you look at the larger thing. But man, I'm telling you, if a whole bunch of you just did a buck a month, you'd change our lives in a massive way. Yeah. TMS would become unstoppable.
No, you'd be exactly. If you guys became sentient, if you guys became self-aware, you'd be, who knows what you could do
it'd be incredible.
With our Patreon.
Yeah, so get over there and check it out, patreon.com/TMS, and read all about it. That's it for the show. Let's get out of here. You got music?
I do have a song. This one's going out to Daryl. Not that Daryl, but a different Daryl. I don't know which Daryl this is, really. Dear Space Wolf and Black Templar, on the 13th of November, that's today, I will be celebrating 1 year of sobriety.
Whoa!
That's awesome.
That's great.
This journey has had many ups and downs and major life changes, but TMS and FilmSack have been constant rocks of stability for me. I would love to hear a rockin' cover of St. Elmo's Fire as I continue to grow into my new life. Cheers, Daryl.
That's awesome. Here, let's play this for
him.
That
is awesome.
No food or drink allowed on the tour.
Oh, it's close.
Yeah, close. Yeah. It does mention drinks, so very good. Well, Daryl, if you come to TMS Vegas, I will buy you and enjoy a lovely Coke Zero with you.
Yeah.
With nothing else in it except ice and a straw.
There you go.
Sorry, dolphins. All right, Daryl, St. Elmo's Fire, this is also known as Man in Motion, originally done by John Parr, and... crap, I sent you the wrong version. I think I sent you the John Parr original.
Oh.
Derp.
You'll fix
really
that.
Funny, because I'm looking at it in my list here. Did I? I wonder if I sent you the right version. Hold on a second.
Maybe you did. I can play a little of... Oh, I guess you have it too. We both have it.
Yeah, well, I have what I could go into the folder here. So the version I'm playing and that I will resend you...
Yeah.
It's funny because I only had two versions in my library, the original and this cover. And this cover is by Cloetta Paris. And it is, it does not have the subtitle Man in Motion, but trust me, same song. That's how I know I sent you the wrong one, because the one I sent you doesn't have a...
Sure.
There we go. Putting the new one in our Dropbox right now.
So that's the original.
Yeah, that's the wrong one. Yeah, that's the original. Okay. That's John Parr.
All right.
That's John Parr singing about... Emilio Estevez and Ali Sheedy and Demi Moore, I think.
Demi Moore. Yeah, Demi Moore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, the whole.
I haven't seen that
Judd
in a
Nelson.
Long time.
I remember Judd Nelson.
Was Judd Nelson in that?
Judd Nelson was in that.
I mean, that was the ultimate. That was the ultimate Brat Pack, right?
That's because you had Rob Lowe as part of that as well, and he wasn't part of the Breakfast Club. There we go. Now you got the real one. Yep. That's it right there.
We're good.
Oh, it's so good.
Excellent.
All right. Cloetta Paris and their cover of John Parr's St. Elmo's Fire.
Sounds great. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a fresh, new, hot Tuesday edition of the show. We'll see you then.
Frogpants.com.
For all the marbles.
Hey guys, it's Chuck B63, Discord, called for TMS. Earlier this week, you guys were talking about car logos, car emblems. You mentioned the Toyota logo. You can spell out the word Toyota. I liked Scott's take on the Acura. I'd never noticed that the Acura is a... it always looked like a pen point to me, like a fountain pen. But I'm sitting in my 2006 Subaru, Forrester, and I'm looking at the logo, and I don't know if you know this, but the logo is a group of stars. It's actually a star cluster that we call the Pleiades, but the Japanese call Subaru, and that's where they got the name. I always thought that was cool to look at that because I don't like astronomy and stuff. But also, did you know that Subaru backwards is you are a bus? Take that into account on that. So thanks for listening. I'll be listening. Love the show. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Hey guys, it's Game Blitz over in chat. Did a couple of hot minutes listening and catching up. I'm on episode 2525 of TMS, and you're talking about cool digging games. If you haven't played it, the mechanics in this game are great. You should check out Super Motherlode. It's pretty cool and relatively cheap and available pretty much everywhere. So yeah, check that out. Love what you guys do. Keep it up. Thanks.
You look at the history of life on Earth, you have microbes around 3.8 billion years ago, pretty much, not long after the Earth formed in geological time. But if you look for evidence of complex life on Earth, then really there isn't any in the fossil record until about 600 million years ago or so. For most of the history of the planet, there was slime, basically, single-celled things doing interesting stuff, photosynthesis and things, but nothing more complicated than a single cell. And it's only in the last half a billion years or so that you get this explosion of life on Earth. Less than a million years that we've had Homo sapiens on Earth, and in the last few tens of thousands of years we've had a civilization. So here it took pretty much 4 billion years to go from cell to civilization, and that's a third of the age of the universe. And so that leads many biologists that I speak to suggest that whilst microbes might be common, civilizations might be rare.
For TMS, the continuation of the weird town names discussion, I'm from Indiana, and apparently we're the place that pronounces things correctly. I live in Warsaw, Indiana, named after Poland and pronounced Warsaw. We also have a Peru, Brazil, Mexico, and Versailles, Indiana, all pronounced correctly. There's also a Santa Claus, Indiana, and the thing that grossed Scott out the most, we also have a French Lick, Indiana, spelled how you would think it would be, and is known for wine. All right, thanks. Bye.
Hey, Scott and Brian, this is Rob Ustin. Yeah, you guys always mispronounce my name. I know it's spelled U-S-T-I-N, but it's actually Ustin, not Ustin. It's Ustin with a D in the middle. Anyway, just wanted to give a little comment for the morning stream on the discussion of Halloween costumes. I was at New York Comic Con a week and a half ago, and in as much as that might be a predictor to what kinds of costumes we might see, did not see any kind of Megan mashups. Did see a couple of Megans. Saw a good amount of Spider-Man and a good amount of Barbie and Ken, and then I saw, and there were more than one Spider-Ken, which I think was an awesome mashup because we have the multiverse, so why not? We could have a Spider-Ken. And then there were a lot of Ahsoka costumes. Ahsoka herself, Hera, and some of the other characters from Ahsoka, we had a lot of. So just wanted to give you that feedback. Maybe we'll see some Ahsoka. Maybe you'll see. And you know, there's always renewed interest in the Star Wars stuff. Always a lot of Jedi Knights and Kylo Rens and Darth Vaders and all that kind of stuff, too. But that's basically what I saw there as some of the popular stuff. So have a good one. Bye.
Hello, Sam and Dean. This is Seamus. I'm Dragulia in the Discord, even though I never go to the Discord. I am calling because I was out of work for 8 months, and I drive around in a truck going to different jobs. So I missed quite a bit of the show, and I'm slowly getting caught up. But something I noticed is that you guys are saying shitoutofluck.com really quickly at the end of little tales or sentences that you're saying, and I cannot figure out what that's about and why you keep saying that. So if you could explain shitoutofluck.com, that would be awesome. Thanks for the show, though. Bye.
Hi, this is Bruce from Oregon, and this is On the Ticks. So from what I've heard, you want to cover them with Vaseline. That way they can't breathe and back out by themselves because they can either vomit in you, like the one guy said, with like hot match, or if you pull them out by the head could break off. So, yeah.
Hi, Scott and Brian. Push your glasses.
Actually, the bombastic Bagman, or the amazing Bagman, as he is well known, appeared only in the issue Amazing Spider-Man Volume 1, number 258. And then unlike what Brian said, that he was Peter Parker was auditioning for the Fantastic Four and lost his uniform somehow. Instead, what actually happened was that while using the alien symbiote as a costume, Peter Parker asked Reed Richards to examine it. And finding that it was actually causing him harm, Reed Richards removed the symbiote using a sonic weapon, which is one of the few things that the alien symbiote is vulnerable to. With no costume on and having no way to get home without one, he lent him a Fantastic Four uniform from back in the day, but without a mask, he had to improvise with a paper bag with two holes cut into it. And being the prankster that he is, Johnny Storm put a kick me sign on the back of the uniform. On his way home to get his new uniform, a new costume, Spider-Man actually had to stop a couple criminals and was interviewed by some reporters, but that was the last time the costume was seen in the usual comic book continuity. But he has been seen many times since then in various video games, where you can change the Spider-Man's costume into the bombastic Bagman or the amazing Bagman. Thank you. Thanks, guys. This is Thomas from Missouri, just letting you know. Thanks.
Hey, Captain Brian, I couldn't think of anything clever. When you guys were talking about internet security, I have a story. One day my Capital One card went off and it's like, are you sure you want to do this? And I looked on Amazon and somebody had two Care Bears, a baby play thing, whatever you call it, with the little baby cage. And then 9 iPhones all at once. And I was like, oh, no. And they like, refused it all at once. But, yeah, I mean, that stuff is real, man. Anyways, love the show, though. All right.
Hey, Spoon and Bowl, I appreciated when you guys had Amy on this past week that you guys were doing spooky suggestions for books to read. And as a horror buff, I wanted to toss a suggestion out there, something that just came out recently. It's called Camp Damascus. I believe the author's name is Chuck Tingle, which I think is a pseudonym. I don't really know much about him, but just came out recently. Been getting a lot of high praise from the people I follow that are into horror and whatnot, so I figured I'd grab it. It's really short. I think it falls in just under 250 pages, so something you can easily knock out in a weekend. And it's all about a girl who lives in a very strict religious community. Kind of turns out to seem like it's pretty culty. It's a town that's largely ruled by this organization. And she kind of starts to have interactions with demonic entities. And that leads her to a path of kind of trying to solve what's going on, and it seems like maybe there's more here than what people are admitting to and things like that. It was really good. Great little read. I would say that if you're maybe sensitive or triggered by extreme religion or have sensitivities to LGBTQ issues, maybe this isn't necessarily the right book for you. But otherwise, definitely a great little pickup and an easy one to breeze through if you're trying to knock out a few scary books before the month of October comes to an end. Okay. Enjoy.
Oh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.